AM 550 KFYR. You are listening to Odyssey on Health. Darren Schaubert is in the studio, and with us on the phone, Dr. Emmanuel Tanney. And we'll find out what's going on at Odyssey Research in just a moment. But first, let's get straight to the phones. Thank you so much for calling. Thank you for holding. You're on the air with Dr. Emmanuel Tanney. You had a question for our guest.
Yes, I did.
Go ahead, please.
I was just listening to it about the headaches and stuff.
Yes.
And I've been having migraines probably since about 4 years ago from a rollerblading accident where I had a concussion. And then probably about 2 years later, I had another concussion during some rock climbing. And I was just wondering if that's where they come from or what I can do to hopefully get rid of them, or if, you know, you can't ever get rid of them.
Dr. Tanney, what do you think?
Well, a migraine is a different type of headache. It has a different etiology or different cause. In his case, gentleman's case, he's describing head trauma, and that can be a cause for recurring migraine-type headaches. They're characterized by often seeing a visual scotoma or a little funny wiggling line.
A little floater?
Well, they're usually bright, jaggedy lines.
Okay.
And they usually appear in both eyes. They usually are followed by the headache. And these headaches, while one cannot totally prevent them, there are medications that can be taken to suppress the frequency of onset, and also medicines that can actually reduce that headache or stop the pain when it actually comes on. And that's something he should check out with his physician. They are readily treatable. So it's a different headache, though, but that is one headache that can be managed quite well.
Dr. Tanney, you had mentioned that traumatic injury to the brain can actually bring on this condition, though, in some cases?
Well, trauma can cause raised intracranial pressure, particularly if it interferes with the passageways for fluid to exit. But it also can come on from other disorders like meningitis or encephalitis or a blood clot in the venous side of the circulation. And that also, by the way, can come on from trauma, a spontaneous blood clot within the head that could impair the outflow of cerebrospinal fluid.
Well, my question is, if migraine pain, can that possibly be misdiagnosed? Could he have possibly had that condition and the doctor misdiagnosed as this versus intracranial hypertension?
Well, you certainly could have both. You could start out with one and have developed the other. They're not necessarily and probably not directly related to each other.
So would the spinal tap be the end-all diagnosis?
Well, generally there's a group of criteria that are met, and the spinal tap is one of those that's very important, and as I mentioned earlier, is often referred to as the gold standard. We think also that the noise that I described earlier in the program, pulsatile tinnitus, the swishing noise that a patient hears, may be related to intracranial pressure too.
So, in other words, would that also be described as hearing your blood pump through your veins, hearing that in your ears?
Well, it's probably something like that. It's a swishing sound, and if one takes your pulse at the same time, they will find that the sound and the pulse are in sync.
All right. I tell you what, let's get over to our 800 line. Ma'am, thank you so much for calling our toll-free line. How can we help you today?
Hello.
Yes.
I'm very happy to talk to you. I just subscribed for your website, and I didn't read your articles before that. I have a question to you. My son was diagnosed with intracranial blood pressure. He had many symptoms like back pain, kidney pain, leg cold and sweating, and anxiety, probably IDD, I don't know, something like that. So he had some treatment, some shots, but it didn't help. He had massage and he had some herb supplements. And he had some improvements with acupuncture, but not so much. What we can do more with this problem? And another question is, can he study at the college, or if it's not so good for him now? And how dangerous it is that it's this condition, it's about 3 years ago started.
Doctor?
Yes, I guess the first question is is there a confirmed diagnosis of intracranial hypertension? If there is, then it's important to look at his symptoms and see what can be done about him. For example, if he does have intracranial pressure, it is possible to use a medication that wasn't really designed for intracranial pressure, but it reduces the production of spinal fluid and thereby lowers pressure. That's a drug called acetazolamide, and it has a common name called Diamox. Most people can be managed to some extent with drugs. When those medical treatments don't succeed, there are two surgical procedures involved. If one is losing vision and the optic nerves are swollen and headache is not a main issue, an operation called an optic nerve sheath decompression can be done. It's simply making a small window in the membrane behind the eye that encompasses the optic nerve and lets fluid drain. The other, as I mentioned earlier, is the development of a shunt, which is nothing more than a tube that carries fluid either from around the brain or at the base of the spine, usually to the abdominal cavity. It's a pressure-releasing system.
Doctor, the caller had mentioned your website, and we should probably get some information out. And again, folks, please get something to write with, something to write on, because if you suffer from chronic headache, there may be something a little bit more serious than you may be aware of. Tell us a little bit about the foundation, if you will, Doctor, and also about your website where people can get more information.
Thank you for that opportunity. The foundation, which we call IHRF, Intracranial Hypertension Research Foundation, has a 6-member board of directors and a scientific advisory panel of top people, 10 in number. And we are reachable at a phone number, 360-693-4473. We're in the state of Washington. Our website is www.ihrfoundation.org. And if you want to email us, we're at info@ihrfoundation.org. And a final word, if you wish to be involved with our registry, we'd love to have you. Our telephone number there is 503-418-2141, and I'll give you the email address, which is ihreg@ohsu.edu. And by the way, as I mentioned earlier, we definitely turn to the public for support, and anyone who wishes to make donations, may contact us through any of those various contact bits of information we just provided.
All right, Doctor, we will be going through that information again before the top of the hour. And, Darren, I need to ask you, what is the latest at Odyssey Research?
Well, Bob, there's a lot of new research that's coming through the pipe on, migraine pain is a huge problem, and that affects a significant number of people, over 45 million people in the country right now, or 95% of people have had headaches. And we just finished up some migraine studies just this last week, and we'll be starting new ones at the beginning of the year here. So anyone that has migraine pain can call into our registry to be logged on to be contacted in the future when we start our next medical research study.
And your phone number?
1-800-649-9240. And we're doing a lot of related studies on macular edema or other vision-related problems and things also, and hormone-related problems with osteoporosis. You name it. We've got different studies, probably 125 different ones going on. Right
also,
now.
Don't forget about that website at morestudies.com, www.morestudies.com.
Odyssey Research provides you access to some of the greatest advancements in medical research. We are looking for people with diabetes, osteoporosis, pain, cancer, heart, lung, vision disorders, and many other diseases. If you want to know more about medical research, which may someday benefit you or your family, please call Odyssey Research at 1-800-649-9240. That's 1-800-649-9240. All you have to do is call and register for information by calling Odyssey Research at 1-800-649-9240.